Welcome to Take Action and Get Profits with Michelle Stizzum, where entrepreneurs come together to discuss business growth strategies, marketing ideas, techniques, and tips. Brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Michelle Stizzum.
And welcome to the show, everybody. It's going to be another one of those great shows. I love a beautiful sunny Monday, and that is what it's looking like here. I hope that wherever you are, it is a beautiful start to your week. That's what I love about doing the show on a Monday, is that we get to just hit the ground running and keep going throughout the entire week. So good luck. I'm hoping that that's exactly where you're sitting, right? We always want to be prepared and ready for that fantastic week ahead. So a couple of things. You know, we'd like to start the show out with a little bit of housekeeping. So we would love to hear from you guys. You can connect with us or the guests at 347-989-1363. If, you know, it's probably just a great idea, just go ahead and put that in speed dial and just call us anytime you want, 347-989-1363, and you're going to press the one button whenever you get on there, and you'll be connected right through to our producer and then to the show. The second thing I wanted to remind you is that, you know, we're just doing fantastic with our downloads on iTunes. So if you if you've missed any shows, if you're wanting to go back and get the recordings of a great show, feel free to do that. You can find us at Take Action Get Profits on iTunes.com. And then also, I want you to check out my video podcast on iTunes at EntrepreneursTakeAction.com. So Take Action, Get Profits on iTunes.com will get you the recordings of all of these great shows. We have been, we've been doing the show for about a year and a half now, almost a year and a half, and have had some amazing guests. So I want to encourage you, if you're a new listener, to go back and see what maybe you might have missed. And if you have been around a while and just want to listen again, go back and listen to those. So lots of exciting things going on. I'm actually not going to be doing the show myself next week. You will have a guest host because I will be on a flight headed to Phoenix for InfusionCon. So if any of you guys out there are going to InfusionCon, please look me up. I would love to meet you and have a conversation. And I just want to know about your business and what's going on and how are things working and what's it looking like. You know, that's me. I'm intrigued. I want to know about business and all types of businesses. So if you're going to be in Phoenix for InfusionCon, then be sure to be looking for me. I was looking to see if there was anything else. I think that's my only travel coming up immediately. A couple of weeks after that, I'll be spending a lot of time in Houston because all my clients are coming in for their masterminds, my coaching clients. So last week we started a conversation. I told you that we are we're in the midst of really up-leveling here at Decisive Minds. You know, I shared with you the story last week again about realizing what it meant to build a sustainable, scalable, sellable business, right? The whole idea of building a business as a legacy, building something, that is bigger than we are. And I'm really deep in this thought process right now. I was doing some work last night. I have some really exciting new stuff coming out in the next couple of months, and I'll be making a big announcement when I come back in 2 weeks on the show, actually. But I was doing some work around this whole idea of what legacy looks like last night. And so I was thinking about, you know, when we start businesses as entrepreneurs, the majority of people start their business because, maybe they don't like the way their boss did things, or they got laid off and they needed to make some money, or their friends kept telling them that they were really great at one particular thing and they really should just go off and turn it into a business. That's probably 95% of the time that's what's happening for the majority of small business owners, solopreneurs, okay? And so when we start business from that angle, really what we're looking at is just making a living, right? We're starting a business where we're focused on profitability, right? Which doesn't sound like it should be a bad thing, not necessarily, right? But we start the business looking to make the money to support ourselves. And it's really a conversation of making a living. And then after a while, as your business becomes a little more successful, and, you know, if you've been through any of my trainings, you know, I teach the five levels of business, which is the startup, the implementation, and then it's sustainable, and then scalable, and then sellable. And as we see business owners moving through the first two phases, and they get to that third phase where they start to feel like the company is becoming a little more sustainable, right? They've got a fairly consistent cash flow. They aren't necessarily having to do 100% of the work in the business because now they've had some, they've added some team members. It's becoming more of a feeling of a real business. Well, what I see shift in my clients whenever they get to that level is the mindset around what they're building. Okay, it becomes that point, that moment where they can start to think, maybe this thing is bigger than I am. Maybe there is a change in the world I want to make. It becomes more than just making a living and paying their own bills. It becomes about making something that can survive them, can be bigger than them, can make a change in the world. And so I'm really excited about this whole conversation because I want you to look at what are the pieces in your business that you have to work on to get it to, hopefully you're at sustainable already. And from sustainable, we want to go to scalable so that we can move to sellable. And what that looks like for the majority of entrepreneurs is that whole conversation of what are those pieces that I have to put in place to move it to the next level. And so I started to think about, you know, last week I told you that really there are the four P's that we focus on in business whenever we're looking at building what I call a legacy business, right? A legacy business being that business that can either be sold, that can be transferred to your children, that, you know, whatever that transition, it's a business that's created that can transition where you no longer have to be involved in it for it to continue. It is truly bigger than you. And there are four areas to get a business to a legacy business. That's people, products, processes, and profits, right? And so last week we started to talk a little bit about processes. That's those the duplicatable systems in your business, the duplicatable processes. And so I had a couple of people send me emails asking me about where they should start to focus to be able to know whether they're heading towards that legacy business as far as the systems go. So a couple of things. Number one, we want to be sure that we have a duplicatable system in how if we are providing a service. And I know in my audience, about 90% of you guys are in some form of a service-based business. If you're performing a service, then we want to create a systemized process that, or we want to create a way of looking at the process within which you work with your clients and systemizing that, okay? So is it duplicatable by someone else? So let's say, for example, I hear this all the time. I hear it from coaches because they feel like they're doing some form of mental work, right, with their clients. Maybe they are a business coach, maybe they are a life coach, maybe they are a financial planner of some sort, and they feel like that knowledge is in them, in their brain, and thus cannot be transferred to others. Absolutely not true, right? We know that knowledge is transferable, so a lot of times it is us just not getting that we can do that. So I want you to stop and look at the way you're working with your clients. And how can we systemize that in a way in which others can deliver the same product? And then it is to start to look at, great, so am I bringing in other people to deliver that product, that service, under my leadership, right? So that would be, if you were a coach, that would be having maybe master coaches come in and train under you and they coach your clients. Or am I going to look at a franchisable type situation. So maybe it's a certification of some sort. So same coach says, you know what, I don't want them working with my private clients, but I will train them, certify them, let them go out and be and deliver my work into this world, but they're going to pay me to do that. They're going to pay a certification fee. They're going to pay a franchise fee. all of those things are all processes that work very well. And they all begin from you stopping, sitting down and saying, this is what I do. When my client gets here, number one, this is what I do. Number two, this is what I do. Number three, this is what I do. And so I want to encourage you to stop and really pay attention to the system of how you're working with your clients. There are so many other systems and processes, by the way, that need to be fixed. But when I got the email that said, so where do I start? That's where you start. Okay, you start by looking there. All right, so we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll be speaking with our first guest. So you guys, hold on.
Live at Choice, where your imagination becomes your reality. If you can imagine it, it's possible. If you can believe it, it's yours. We get it. You're done with the way it is now. You're finished with all the frustration around why you feel stuck and your life isn't working. Imagine what your life would be like if you could have all the answers and see new possibilities. We at Live at Choice choose to make a difference. Live at Choice has developed a proven process and a series of questions that lead participants to the answers they seek, gaining new understanding and self-awareness for both your personal and professional life. If you're ready to get to the life you want, contact us today. Visit liveatchoice.com to get started.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tuff Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tuff Talk Radio Network can help you, go to tufftalkradionetwork.com.
Imagine taking your business to the masses using proven marketing techniques. What if you could take what you love and turn it into a six-figure business in the next 2 years? Or a $500,000 business in the next 3 to 4 years? Michelle Sism went from struggling to build her coaching practice to doing $500,000 in her business in less than 4 years when she uncovered the secrets to converting audiences to clients. In Cash In on Your Expertise, Michelle shares the exact strategy she used to build her business so quickly. Get your free copy today at www.cashinonyourexpertise.com.
All right, and we are back with our first guest of the show. Marnie, are you there?
I am. Hi.
Hi, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Wonderful. So what I like to do, Marnie, is just take the first couple of seconds here. I'll do your official bio, and but then I really want to hear the real story about, you know, how Marnie got to where she is. So if that's good with you, that's how we'll get started.
Sounds great.
Perfect. So, listen, guys, this is Marnie Swedberg. And did I say that correctly?
Yep. Swedberg? Yep, you did.
Oh, perfect. And Marnie is the online mentor to over 14,000 leaders from 30 countries training BUSY, which stands for Best Unique Strategies for You. She's a syndicated radio talk show host, the author of 12 how-to books. Plus, she personally oversees two businesses in the retail and restaurant industries. She consistently shares practical, doable success strategies to shorten your learning curve, increase your productivity, and skyrocket your delight in life. I love that. That's awesome. That is what our show is all about. You're going to fit in perfectly here.
Cool. It's great to be here.
Wonderful. So why don't we get started with the, you know, what is the background? This is a really exciting bio where lots of great things you're doing, and I absolutely want to talk about BUSY and the other stuff you have going on, but what brought you to doing what you're doing?
I think almost everything I do in response to the question, how do you do that? And so what I always train people to do is look for the hole in the market. And when somebody says to me, how do you do that, and I can find a resource that already teaches how to do what I'm doing, what they want to learn how to do, I just say, go read that or go take that training or whatever. But when I can't, then I go ahead and I create the training materials or I create the program that teaches them how to do what it is they're looking at doing. And the reason that I think I've had the ability to touch so many lives so far is because when I was in school, I really struggled. I didn't learn how to read well until I was an adult out of school. I struggled and I had to sound out the words all the way through and so barely graduated from high school, never did go to college. But once out from under the pressure of school and not being, you know, not having to perform for a grade, which, by the way, I barely got grades that would pass me through. Once I was an adult then, I was able to just kind of relax into the words. And I was able to come to a point where I could read well and read for pleasure, at which point there was no turning back. And I just became a lifelong learner. And now, of course, I'm writing my 13th book right now, which is so fun. It's just really amazing, Michelle, when people get comfortable in their sphere, when they get comfortable in their skin, all of a sudden amazing things can open up for them that are not possible when the person is existing under a kind of a blanket, a wet, heavy blanket of fear or of pressure. And so a lot of what I do is help people break through those things that are holding them back to find who they really are and what they're really here to do.
Very cool. I was kind of just going around on your website. There's all kinds of great information on there. So, yeah, I could see that I love that you start out with the fact that you're looking for the answer to the question, how do you do that? I could tell that from your website. So that was what was so cool. Right. It's like, wow, okay, so there's all kind of great things on there. So very cool. So talk to us a little bit about Busy, because it was in your bio, and then I saw it on the front page of your website. So,
well, since my target niche really is leaders, and I always say that everybody's leading somebody. If you're the mother of a 2-year-old, they're
following you,
and you better set a good example because they're going to model it. So all of us are leading somebody, but I work with a lot of super busy leaders. And a bad rap that comes on leaders is that you're too busy. And sometimes we really do get too busy, and I work on that angle too, where rest has to be part of the balance, has to be part of the system and part of your program and part of your plan. But also there are seasons in the life of a leader, just like there are seasons in the life of a parent, that are going to be super busy. So when a parent brings home a brand new baby, we don't say to that mom and dad, get some sleep. You know, just stop that. Stop taking care of them in the middle of the night. Sleep. You need some, you know. We let them take care of the baby because, of course, we know the baby needs that much care. When a person opens a new business or when a person is writing on a deadline for a book or when a person is putting together a humongous conference or something, there are seasons that are just as stressful as that. And it's unfair to say to a leader, back off, go to sleep, don't work so hard, don't do that. Just take some time for yourself. And in the big picture, yeah, we have to do that. If we always forever are working that hard, we will burn out, and that's a bad thing. But if you are created to be a leader, there really are some things that are going to cost you everything. They're going to cost you sleep. They're going to cost you, time away from the other things you maybe would do with that time, of course. And the investment is worth it to you because that's what you're here to do. That's why you're in the world. And so I really love to just find busy as best unique strategies for you. And I always say, I was born to be busy. Michelle, I think you were born to be busy. Where busy is defined as actually accomplishing the purposes for which you were created on this earth. We need you. If you don't do what you were created to do, nobody else can do it just like you. You're the only you we will ever know. So I just encourage people, go ahead, be busy. Build some rest in there. Absolutely. Make your relationships key and a focal point of your life. Absolutely. But don't ever get sucked into this bad busy syndrome where it's wrong to be busy. Absolutely not. God created us to be busy.
Yeah, I love that. I often, when I'm working with my coaching clients and my business owners, and I think you said it perfectly. It's all about the season. I usually say, if you've ever gotten married and getting prepared for a wedding, or if you've ever thrown a huge party or whatever, right? I mean, same thing. We have those seasons in life, and building a business, that happens, right? You're so right, though. It's about knowing when to back down a little bit. You know, I just went and spent 3 days in Biloxi just kind of chilling out, and now I'm back doing what I need to do, right?
So, and I think, Michelle, one of the things that I heard you talking about was with your legacy business, you go startup, implementation, sustainable, scalable, sellable. Well, if you are forever in startup phase, there's a problem here.
Right.
That's where you need to get a good coach and get yourself, and I call it getting unstuck, because what happens, you know, the cycle of progress is this, okay? You're making progress, you're making progress, you're making progress, then you get stuck.
Mm-hmm.
Stuck until you get unstuck. And then you're making progress until you get stuck again. Well, the goal of any successful person is to shorten the amount of time you're stuck. It's not like you'll never get stuck. You will get stuck. That'd be like saying you'll never be in a traffic jam. Of course you're going to be in a traffic jam. But if there's a shorter way to get around, why sit there every day?
Yeah.
You know, so that's kind of what I'm all about. I'm all about helping people get unstuck more quickly to avoid the blockages that don't have to be hit and to just enjoy the process of actually accomplishing some stuff and seeing the end result, which is always so fun.
Yeah, very cool. I think I saw on your website, too, that you either you just launched a new book or you have a new book coming out.
I do. This fall we'll have a new book coming out. It's called Flow Through Vessel, Mastering the Habit of Letting God Flow Through You. And I always say that, you know, a lot of people who love God, they think it's try harder, you know. And what really God wants us to do is just stand aside and let His love flow through us, and it's a much easier process, much more enjoyable, and actually quite a bit more successful.
Oh, awesome. That's awesome. I totally agree there as well. So very cool. Whenever you are working with, you know, I know you have just a huge community of people who are following you. And what do you find that they, you know, what's their biggest hurdle? And I have a feeling it's going to be around this whole thing of getting unstuck. But what's your advice for them when somebody's first coming to you and they just don't see that vision? They are beyond stuck, right? Can't seem to get out of that cycle. What would you
I actually start with the definition of success, Michelle, because so many people define success like the achievement of a goal. And that is success. That's a portion of success, is to you actually achieve the goal. But let's say that your goal was to be a gold medal gymnast, okay? So the whole time you're working toward that goal, you are a potential success. And then once you hit the goal, if you hit the goal, then for that moment you're on the podium, you are a success. You get down off the podium, and if you don't get that gold again, you're a past success. And I just say that's just no way to live. I just encourage people to bring that definition down to something tangible that you can pass or fail at every single day. So when I get up in the morning, I start by talking to God and welcoming Him to the day and into my day. And then when I go to bed at night, I lay down and I just say, God, how is it with me today? And really what I'm looking for, Michelle, is I'm looking for that well done, good and faithful servant. You know, that today I did exactly what I was created to do today, just today.
Right.
You know, and if not, well, then we have a few things to talk about before I go to sleep. But usually I just get tucked in and I'm off to sleep and I'm sleeping peacefully because I didn't change the whole world today. And I maybe didn't get that gold medal today, but I did today what I was meant to do today. And as long as we bring it down to those individual steps, life is doable. It's when we try to tackle the whole thing at once that we become overwhelmed, discouraged, hopeless, depressed, and really, quite frankly, too busy because we're trying to do too much in one day.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow, yeah,
I always just, you know, one day is 86,400 seconds. You know, if somebody gave you $86,400, you'd be like, wow, you know, I get to just spend that all today? Cool, you know, but it would be actually hard for you to spend it. You know, it would be hard to, unless you already knew what you were going to buy exactly with it, to spend that exact amount of money. But the thing with time is that it just goes by. You don't even notice it going. All of a sudden, it's 2 hours later, and what did you really do? You know, so I always use the example of being on a game show, and you come out, and what they're going to do is they're going to take you out, and you're going to have 60 seconds. And over on the right hand, or one side of the stage, you don't know which side, on one side of the stage, there's going to be a pile of $100 bills. And on the other side of the stage, there's going to be a pile of $1 bills. And now you have 60 seconds. So what are you going to do, Michelle? Where are you going to spend your 60 seconds?
Yeah, no kidding.
Of course, right? The $100 because nobody's stupid. So, but here's the trick, though. They're going to blindfold you, and they're going to set you right in the center of that stage. So now what are you going to do? Well, if you have any sense at all, you're going to spend 30 seconds at each pile, right? Because mm-hmm. then you're sure to get the most possible without being able to see. Now,
right.
if we can see clearly, all we do is we just go spend our time at the wise choice, at the wise pile, right? The $100 pile. But if we cannot see clearly, if we are blind to what our true mission goal is, then we spend our time running back and forth between the piles because we just really don't know which one is better. And that's where mission and vision come in. And that's, you know, that's what you are doing with people, Michelle. That's what I am helping people do, is really clarify what is it you want to accomplish, because that's going to make a huge difference in how you spend your $86,000 today.
That's right. Every second counts, right? That's a, what's
every
the whole
second
there. It counts more now than it did 2 minutes ago, too, by the way.
yeah.
So one of the other things I saw on your website was the 21-day wins. Talk to me about that. What is that?
I love those. I've been doing those with groups for a couple of years, probably about 3 years now. And what we do is every month, so we're going to start one up again here in April in a couple of days, you pick one goal, one habit that you want to trade out. And I never let people just break a habit. You always have to replace a habit. Because what happens is when you break a habit, you actually leave a big gaping hole there in your life where the habit used to be. All the thoughts about the habit, all the practices around the habit, all the
mm-hmm.
aftermath and guilt around the habit, all of that. All of that's now a big empty hole. And what usually comes back is the habit. So never break a habit. Always replace a habit with something you want to do in place of that habit. So you can either pick to exchange out a habit, or you can pick to complete a project that you'll work on for 21 days, and that might be 10 minutes a day, an hour a day. Some riders actually go up, you know, if they're used to riding an hour or 2 days, some riders go up to 4 hours a day. If you're new at riding, I would never let you do that. But depending on what you want to do, we just hold each other accountable for 21 days. We get together once a week online for a little group coaching session, and then we hold each other accountable in a private Facebook group, and that comes around every month. And people have done amazing, amazing things. Some people have completed a book project and moved on to their next, like, launch of a website all within the 21 days. Other people have quit smoking. You know, we've got every kind of goal achieved imaginable, and it's always so fun for me to have my own that I work on every month, a new one every month, and for me to see what everybody else is doing and to watch the progress. When you just take a little bite at a time, and that's one thing I really encourage you. The smaller the bite, the more likely you are to actually succeed. And success breeds motivation. We always think it's the other way around,
right,
that motivation breeds success, but it's really success breeds motivation.
Yeah, I agree with you. Awesome. Well, you have just been full of great information today, so I want to be sure that everyone gets connected with you. So why don't you share with them what where you would like them to connect and your website address and all that great stuff.
Well, it's really easy. It's just my name, Marnie, MARNIE.com. And if you go over there, you can just link to everything. There's a bunch of free stuff, as well as we've got a March Madness sale going on right now that's completely insane. If you've ever wanted to have somebody just walk you through life, you know, in all the different categories from home, life, and family, all the way to publishing your book or becoming a media personality or any of the 12 lifestyles, managing your business or being a speaker or whatever, all of that's there, and it's just so reasonable, and right now it's even on sale. So I hope you guys go and check that out.
Wow, I just clicked on the link, and yeah, I can see this is that whole place where you answer how do you do that, because
yes.
Hello, I think this covers everything.
Well, my goal is to be free to run our local businesses, as well as to travel and speak and to, you know, do buyer shows and different things like that. And so it's all very automated. It's there 24/7, 365, and it's just whenever you have time and a question, the answer is there for you, and if not, we'll get it for you.
And one of them is your music CD. So is that you singing, or is that like your favorite music?
No, it's actually songs I've written. That CD is a sampler CD that has 11 songs that I've written, done by different music groups. And I sing on one of them. I got to sing on one of them, but otherwise all these people I've never met. Been in studios and recorded my songs, and then we put it all together on one CD. So that was really a fun project.
Oh, how cool is that? Well, fantastic. Thank you so much for being here, Marnie. I've really enjoyed our conversation today, and I just want to be sure that everybody gets connected with you guys. There is so much information on this website. You've got to go check it out at www.marnie.com. So thank you, Marnie. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Michelle. And thanks, everybody. You have a great day.
All right. You too. Bye-bye. Okay, guys. Bye. We'll be back after this commercial break.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Are you an entrepreneur? Are you where you want to be? Do you believe that if you build it, they will come? Unfortunately, entrepreneurship doesn't work that way, and that's why you need to read Famous Isn't Enough. In this book, you'll find real-life situations and lessons learned. When all is said and done, there's nothing better than being your own boss. Remember, nothing just happens. You have to put in the work. Famous Isn't Enough is your roadmap. Get your copy today at www.famousisn'tenough.com.
Imagine taking your business to the masses using proven marketing techniques. What if you could take what you love and turn it into a six-figure business in the next 2 years? Or a $500,000 business in the next 3 to 4 years? Michelle Sism went from struggling to build her coaching practice to doing $500,000 in her business in less than 4 years when she uncovered the secrets to converting audiences to clients. In Cash In on Your Expertise, Michelle shares the exact strategy she used to build her business so quickly. Get your free copy today at www.cashinonyourexpertise.com.
Wonderful, and we are back with our second guest of the show, David Barnett. David, are you there?
Hi, Michelle. How are you? Yes, I'm here. I'm so happy to be here today.
Me too. I'm so excited to have you here. I want to just, real quick, I want to read everyone your bio so they'll know who you are, but then I really want to hear the story about you because I saw some really interesting things on your website and in your bio, so it's going to be a fun conversation.
Oh, great.
Awesome. So listen, guys, this is David Barnett, and he's a 1998 graduate of the Williams School of Business and Economics at Bishop's University, and he's a deal-making and small business financing expert. From 1998 to 2005, he was a major account rep with the Yellow Pages, and this opportunity gave him an insight into the particular challenges of small and medium businesses as he dealt daily with the owners of these companies. In 2005, Mr. Barnett left the publishing industry to start a small business with a partner. Their venture was an immediate success after owning, operating, and building the business. An opportunity to sell presented itself in late 2006, and I am so intrigued to hear more about that in particular, David, and really just, you know, as someone myself who's been in business my entire life, and I remember those Yellow Pages days, right, when we were as small business owners, we were having a lot of interaction with the Yellow Pages. So I can imagine that you really did get a lot of firsthand experience. So
well,
welcome,
you know,
to the call. And
yeah,
yeah,
absolutely, Michelle. It's you know, back in the days when marketing your business was easy, right? Because all you had to
right.
do was buy an ad in the phone book.
That was it. That was the opportunity, right? That and the TV.
You know, I learned so much about so many different kinds of businesses in those years, and really it solidified my love for small business. And when I sold that company, what I decided I wanted to do is I wanted to find a way to help small businesses in my local area, help them grow, help them expand. So I actually got into the business of being a commercial financing broker. I started to help small businesses grow and expand by arranging capital leases and business loans, helping them solve cash flow problems by setting up factoring facilities. That's when we sell accounts receivable if people are taking too long to pay in the business. And I started to help all these local people, and I started to learn all the processes involved in all of these different methods for financing. And after a few years, when we got into the financial crisis in 08 and 09, unfortunately, a lot of the businesses that I was using as a source of financing ended up failing in that crisis period. A lot of them were taking those loans or leases or notes and reselling them into the market, and they ended up failing when there was no longer any buyers for that paper. But
right.
But what I took out of that experience, and I did that for years, is I started to realize, you know, when a bank makes a loan, they're not being foolish with their money. You know, banks don't take risks very often, do they, Michelle?
Right.
And let me ask you this. When you work hard and you save up your money and you take it into the bank and you buy yourself a CD or put it into a term deposit, what kind of rate of return do they give to you?
Oh, very tiny.
Very tiny, right? But I think typically less than 1% right now, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And then what do they do with that money?
Oh, they turn around and reinvest it and make money.
That's right. They lend it out to people in the form of car loans, mortgages, small business loans, you know, equipment loans, that type of thing. So in the world of small business financing, an entrepreneur might go and want to finance a piece of equipment. They might pay more than 10% interest on that financing.
Right.
So what I started to realize is that there really are two different worlds when it comes to money and financing. And just like there's two different worlds in almost every aspect of business, there's retail and there's wholesale, right? You
right.
know that when you go down to your corner store, you're going to pay more for eggs than you would at Costco, right?
Right. Correct.
Okay. So, but what's the difference? At Costco, you got to do a little bit more work. It's not as convenient as the corner store, is it? You got to get into your car. You probably have to drive a little ways on the highway. You got to put in a little bit of effort in order to get that better deal. And what banks do with your money is what I term wholesale investing. They have to go and find the person that wants to borrow money to get the car, for example. They need to do out the paperwork. They need to secure a lien. They need to chase after the person if they don't make the payments. So they're doing a little bit of work. And what I started to realize is that I could get better returns for my own money if I was willing to do a little bit of wholesale investing. So in my book that came out last year is called Invest Local, and it's called A Guide to Superior Investment Returns in Your Own Community. And it's a step-by-step how-to guide based on my own experience of how I go out and I help entrepreneurs in my own community by doing these types of lease financing deals. And in return, I get much more control over my own investment portfolio than I would if I put the money into the stock market or bought savings bonds or what have you. So, it's quite interesting because if you go looking online for things about local communities and local investing, you run across a lot of, I guess, what we would call social enterprise type of stuff, where people are trying to, they're investing in their community, they're trying to make life better for people. That's not what this book is about. This book is about bringing value to the people in your community and getting value in exchange. Increasing the overall rate of return on your investment portfolio. In my book, I give an example of, how long it would take you to save for different amounts of money. If you had savings every year of $5,000 and you were investing it at 8% interest, in 20 years, you'd have $250,000.
Right.
But the reality is you can't get that kind of rate of return today, from a bank.
Right.
So my book basically is about how you can keep the vast majority of your money in a very secure place and then offset some of that with a small amount of money that is earning a higher rate of return through some of these local investment deals.
Very good. That was actually the question I was going to ask you. If you're a believer in splitting that, right? It's not, you're not saying to everyone to go out and invest everything they've got to try to get higher rates, but okay, good.
No, not at all. The first part of the book has got a little bit of a primer on personal finance. I actually identify the 8 asset classes that the super wealthy invest in. And I talk about, if you go to a financial planner, they're going to talk to you about diversification, and they're going to talk about stocks and bonds. That's just 2 classes of assets. It happens to be the ones that he sells. That's why he talks to you about them. one of the asset classes out there is privately held business. But not everyone is cut out to be an owner-operator of a small privately held business.
Correct.
These kinds of investing techniques can give you exposure to the great rates of return from that category without having to become an owner-operator of a privately held business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in my own personal investing portfolio, I probably only have 5 to 10% of my money invested in these kinds of deals, and I typically only have four or five of them going at any given time. So you're right. It's part of an overall diversified investing system, but the rates of return can be amazing. In my book, I talk about different ways that you can actually leverage deals and different ways that you can help offset different types of risk. I identify 10 different specific types of risk that are involved when you get into these local direct investment deals and what the different kinds of risk look like and how you can adjust your deal if you feel that you're overly exposed to any one of these kinds of risk. The leveraging techniques are quite interesting, too. I detail exactly how I did a financing on a mobile home at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And I basically did the note at, it was 19% interest, I think. But then I, in turn, used the note as collateral to borrow from a friend of mine. And I borrowed from him at 9% interest. And so what ended up happening was the rate of return on the net amount that I invested went up to 124%.
Mm.
So just there's really a lot of neat things that you can do when you're exposed to some of the methods and techniques in the book. And, you know, I detail for people, you know, how you go about calculating these things. And I give an example of someone who buys, for example, a cargo van for someone who's a tradesman and then, you know, does a loan on it. And then at the end of the loan, you know, converting it or, for example, doing a lease and at the end of the lease converting it into a loan to sell it to someone else.
Right.
And I detail step by step on how you do it, what sort of paperwork you need. How do you make sure that you're not going to get burned? What happens if the deal goes wrong, right?
Right.
And so these are the step-by-steps that I put in the book. And it's actually been out for 12 months now. It came out in March of last year. And I've got to tell you, I've gotten a tremendous amount of really positive feedback from people all around the world who've taken a look.
Yeah, I love this idea. You know, we've done a lot of this type of investment through our different businesses and my family. And do you find that you have a tendency to maybe go in one direction? We do a lot of equipment, you know, a lot of investment that's attached through equipment. But do you have a tendency to find your niche or your place that you really enjoy? Do you see that for most people? Or
personally, in my own experience, the number one place where I start with anyone is with equipment, because I want the security of having that tangible good as
right.
You know, backing up the paper. But once I do business, here's what happens: is you do business with someone, with an entrepreneur, and then they pay you, and then a year or two goes by, and there's never any issue with the payments, and then they want to expand or do something else. And they realize it's easier to come back and do business with me than it is to do business with the bank.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and then they start coming back and looking for new and different things that I want to do with them. And once I get to know them and I get to know their business really well and I get to observe it operating over the course of a couple of years, then I'll do things that might even be a little bit more risky for me, even though I do control my risk, such as giving advances against receivables.
Mm-hmm.
For different industries have really long receivable lead times.
Right.
So right now I've got a deal going on with a painting contractor who had a whole bunch of insurance work to do, and insurance companies can take a long time to pay the bill. But he needs to pay his labor and he needs to pay for materials today. So I'll give him an advance against that receivable. And when the receivable check comes in, he pays me back. So that's
right.
A form of factoring. But there's more opportunities for me to lose out in that. So there has to be a certain trust level there.
Yeah, and so a couple of things that people who are out in the audience might be thinking is, number one, this is legal. It's not, you know, there's so many regulations on banks and banking, and this is looked at a little separately because it's an individual investment, correct?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know all the local rules everywhere, but as a principal actor, I can get into it. I can do any deal that I want to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's me, it's my money. It's not like I am representing other people's money or people aren't giving me money to invest. That would be
right.
A whole different kettle of fish.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
What I do, though, to, you know, to sort of bring other players on board, I did a deal last fall for some the specialized equipment for grinding concrete floors,
mm-hmm.
and it was a $6,000 deal secured with the equipment, but the guys were only in business for a year, and so that makes me a little bit cautious. I did the deal after speaking to one of my buddies, and I told him about the opportunity, and he agreed that he wanted to come on board with me. So I created the deal and then immediately sold him a 50% interest in that note and got half my money back right away.
Right.
So now my exposure is only $3,000. Now, you know, that was 9 months ago. So every payment's come in. So now my exposure is you know, less than $2,500 now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the great thing about this is that you don't have to, we're not talking about huge deals. Right.
Nope.
Yeah, there's great money to be made on huge deals, but it's a great way to get started with sometimes whenever you have smaller amounts of money to invest. Right.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's very rare for me to get involved in anything over $5,000, truthfully, Michelle.
No. Oh, really? Okay.
And it, just for that reason, I would rather have four deals on the go worth less than $5,000 each than one $20,000 deal. Just because it's a way for me to diversify my own risk.
Mm-hmm.
Other certain rules that I follow is I always look for security of some kind. The other cardinal rule that I always apply to every deal analysis is that my loan money or the money I'm advancing to lease a piece of equipment, the entrepreneur has to show me how that investment is going to improve his cash flow. So I want to see how either his costs are going to be reduced by this new investment or that his sales are going to increase. Because
mm-hmm.
if his monthly cash flow improves by more than what he's going to pay me, that's the best security of all for my loan. Because
right.
I'm making more every month than what my cut is. Than what my payment is. So, you know, that immediately says that, you know, I'm not going to lend money to someone for a new big screen TV or anything silly like that. The deal has to show me that the person borrowing is going to be better off.
Yeah. My husband actually does this. He really focuses in the area of tools. And
mm-hmm.
he's been in the trucking industry for his entire life, as have most of my family, and so he's, you know, he finances tools for mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
That is, it's, you know, they need it to make more money. It directly affects the revenues that they bring in. He knows where they are at all times. Everything's secured by the tools. It's, you know, it works, and he makes good money doing that for people. So.
You know, I occasionally run across people, you know, just like, you know, what you're telling me about your husband. I run across people all over the place who do this to a certain degree. But when I went looking on the internet, because when I decided to start doing this, I immediately wanted to learn more, right? You know, where can I go to find a resource? Where can I go to find someone who can teach me about this? And I found a great deal of information about private investing in real estate deals. But I didn't find anything about these small equipment deals and inventory deals and receivables deals. And that's what inspired me to finally write the book, is because I said, you know, there's got to be people out there who maybe have the same idea or have an interest in this, and they just don't know where to go to start, and they're afraid that if they don't know enough that they're going to make a mistake, and this is going to keep people, you know, out of the game, kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, very good. I'm going to go order my copy of the book. I'm intrigued. I want to read it. And so you guys can actually find this book and actually others. You wrote one about franchising and credit card.
Yeah.
You've written several books. So
I've got three books. The franchise book just came out. After I left the finance brokerage industry in 2009, I actually became a business broker. And I did that from 09 until 11, and I sold 36 companies during that time. And I had a lot of interaction with franchises. And, you know, franchising is often portrayed as an easy shortcut to business success. And I can tell you that's not my direct observed experience with a lot of people. And there's a lot of things about franchises that people just aren't aware of. And so much of the sort of PR machine of the business world is cheerleading franchising because they all have, you know, to use a term, they've all got their hand in the cookie jar.
Yeah.
When I was a business broker, I sold a franchise to someone. They paid a $50,000 franchise fee. I was given $20,000 of that money.
Wow.
You know? So there's huge win, you know, earnings available to people who help get people onto this franchise business pathway. And when I wrote Franchise Warnings, I wanted to take all of my different experiences, and the book is filled with actual personal stories of things that happened to people and conversations I've had with franchisees and franchisors. And I talk about all the different things that you need to look out for if you're going to look at investing in a franchise business. And there's also a free giveaway on my website, too, because I used to be a regular columnist in a business magazine, and I collected together all of the articles that are sort of timeless and continue to be relevant. I put them together in a package, which is available as a free download from my website.
Awesome. Very good. So you guys can find all of this wonderful information at investlocalbook.com. And David, it has just been so great having you on the show today. Thank you so much.
Well, it's been a pleasure, Michelle, and best of luck with your show. And I always enjoy coming on and being a guest on programs like yours.
Wonderful. Thank you. Okay, guys, so go check out David's website, investlocalbook.com. Get your copy of his books today and start investing in your local community. So thank you so much. All righty, we're going to go take a break. We will be back in a few moments.
Are you one of those people who deal with issues that life throws at you on a daily basis? Then you need to tune in to Life's Issues to hear Lloyd Rosen get the answers to those nagging problems. Begin to turn your life into that positive journey you've always wanted. You've always had the ability. Now get the information to complete the journey. Tune in every Thursday afternoon at 1:30 p.m. Central Time to hear Lloyd ask the questions that get the answers you are looking for. Lloyd wants to help those that are dealing with life's issues. Check out Lloyd's blog at LloydRosen.com for more information about daily problems.
If you know someone who wants the legal A-team on their side, have them call on Altenburn & Associates, the Legal Eagle, today. David Altenburn is an experienced and recognized top lawyer in Houston who will put an eagle's eye to protecting the client's best interests at all times. For any personal injury, family law, or business law concern, Altenburn & Associates can help with our connections that count and make a difference for great results. We work hard for the justice our clients deserve, earning client trust and opponent respect, one case at a time. For legal help, call 281-904-6330 today.
Imagine taking your business to the masses using proven marketing techniques. What if you could take what you love and turn it into a six-figure business in the next 2 years? Or a $500,000 business in the next 3 to 4 years? Michelle Sism went from struggling to build her coaching practice to doing $500,000 in her business in less than 4 years when she uncovered the secrets to converting audiences to clients. In Cash In on Your Expertise, Michelle shares the exact strategy she used to build her business so quickly. Get your free copy today at www.cashinonyourexpertise.com.
Okay, so I know it's been a good show because I've had several of my clients texting me saying, oh my God, this is great stuff. First of all, I think they really loved, and I just have to say a big thank you to Marnie and her whole conversation about being busy, right? And about the understanding of sometimes there are seasons when we are busy. And if we are entrepreneurs, we want to look at, number one, are we busy 100% of the time? And if that's the case, then we might need to look at something. But the reality is when you're building something, growing something, focused on something, yeah, you're going to be busy. And like she said, some of us are designed for busy. We're built for busy. We were created to be busy and get things done, right? So thank you, Marnie, for doing that. I want to remind you guys to go visit Marnie at her website, www.marnie.com. And that's Marnie Swedberg, by the way. And then we just had just a great time speaking with David and David Barnett from investlocalbook.com. During the break, I jumped on over to Amazon and ordered my copy of both. Actually, I decided to go with both books, the Invest Local and the Franchise Warnings book. I am one of those people who's always thinking about franchising, right? And so how do we build that? But I am so like David. I know a lot of people who franchise world, and for some it has been an amazing adventure, and for some it has been a terrible painful adventure. So I'm intrigued to see what David found along the way. So be sure you visit with David Barnett at www.investlocalbook.com. And we started out this show talking about the whole idea of creating legacy and a legacy business. And what does that look like? How do you leave a legacy that is more than just leaving a business to your kids, right? It's about building something that makes a change in your family, your community, and your world. And whether that is for those of you who are out there doing like David said and doing local investing or doing investing in some form or fashion where you're helping other people build their businesses and that's the change that comes out of the world, or it is that you are a coach and you have your core clients in place, but at this point you're thinking, oh my goodness, I can't do more because I'm trading time for dollars and my time is all spent. How can we look at creating a business that continues to make the change you want to make, but on a much grander scale? And so today we were talking about starting out with looking at the processes in your business and what it is that you need to be working on duplicating, right? Creating duplicatable processes. Everything in your business at one point or another turns into a process, right? I guarantee you, you've got a process for everything you do. You have a process for the way you wake up in the morning. Everything in life has a process. So when we stop and look at those and think, okay, great. So how can I create this duplicatable so that I can hand that process to someone else? They can just pick it up and implement it, or they can, learn to work with things in a certain way that you want them done, or whatever that looks like, whatever those processes in your business look like. We want to start to define those. Here's the great news. You don't have to know them all right now. You don't have to have them all fixed tomorrow. You start with one. So where is the first process, first system that you're going to put in place? Where you're going to write it down, get out a Word doc, create your version of what we would call in the corporate world an SOP, right? A standard operating procedure. What does that look like for you? It simply could be a Word document that has the title of whatever it is you're working on at the top, and then you start to answer the questions of why do I do this? Who is it for? Who would be the person to implement this in the future? And what steps would they take? And start to walk through that process for one of the systems in your business. And when you see that one system gets in place, then you start to look at, okay, so what would be the most logical next system in your business? And I can tell you that with Decisive Minds, we just had our fifth anniversary in January, and we have been really busy over the last couple of years creating duplicatable systems. Are we done? By no means. By no means are we done. But we get better and better every day, and we get more and more of them completed every month, every year. And it's really exciting to look back and see what it looked like 2 or 3 years ago compared to what we have now. So I want to remind you all that I will be at InfusionCon next week. If you're there, look me up. If not, be here because we will have an amazing guest host. So the show will continue. Duplicatable systems, right? All right, guys. Have a fantastic week. We will see you again next Monday. This is Michelle Sism saying be decisive. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Take Action and Get Profits with Michelle Sism, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.